he's also a big couch. There you go.
Ooh. Hey. Hi.
Hey girl, how are you?
So excited to talk to you. Just prepped my second phone for recording this.
Yeah, it's gonna be awesome. How's your day been while we wait for people to join us?
My day so far has been not very productive. But I woke up pretty late because I went to bed late. But I prepped myself, I used some awesome sustainable vegan makeup, and I'm feeling good. And yay! I prepped a bit about, human design in general. Like, I just looked at my profile again, so I don't miss anything. Yeah, okay. But it's still early in the day, you know? Oh, it's still 11, it's not 7, in your place. So you probably have done a lot more today.
Yeah, well, it's a rainy day in Melbourne, and it's cold, it's getting into winter, so it's kind of like a cozy environment, but it's really good to do research and learn and read. Yeah. So that's pretty much what I've been doing today. I'm writing, creating, that's kind of
awesome.
Alright, so let's jump in, and you know, whoever jumps in, awesome. So we're gonna talk about human design today.
Yeah.
We are both really new to the knowledge and the wisdom of human design, and we're just gonna talk about what we have learned, how it has served us, and the possibilities in the movement and the wisdom in it. So how did you get into human design?
I personally got into human design through another account on here. I don't remember her full account, but maybe I can add that at a later point. But she's named Katharina, and she was very interested in this topic and posted about it, and I never heard about this before. And always when something new is coming up, I just naturally have an interest in it. So I asked her how she found out about it, and then I just created my own graph and read up on it, and I felt so understood. I was like, oh my god, so many things make sense now. So yeah, that's how I got into it. And you?
Yeah. Same. I did a spirituality summit. I was invited to speak there 2 months ago.
Okay.
And in the spirituality summit, there was this one coach who has been in human design for ages, and she spoke about it. And because we were watching each other's speeches, I saw hers, and I thought it was really insightful. And back then, I realized my design, and I didn't really look into it, but with COVID and with the quarantine, I've been digging deeper into human design now, and I've been really into it for the past week.
Yeah.
And been so eye-opening, and I've gotten to know my clients and my friends so much deeper, and myself, because you know, I'm super into it and getting to know people from this perspective. So it's been a real exciting opportunity.
How have you used your knowledge up until now? So I know you're a projector. So what does that mean exactly? Because I don't know if people know how the system works. Maybe we should talk about it a bit.
Yeah. Human design is a logical system that was kind of given into this guy, Ra Uru. I think that's what he was known for. He had this download from the universe or something about this logical system that used Kabbalah, astrology, the I Ching, that I'm not 100% sure what it is yet, I haven't looked into it, the chakra systems, the 7 points of energy, but this one has 9, but it uses it, and quantum physics.
Mm.
To logically express your energy. So what it gives you is an insight into how your aura operates and how it communicates with other human beings and how it receives information and how it's wired technically. So it's an insightful way to understand how human beings are wired energetically. So it's like so much information. So in human design, there's 4.5 types.
Yeah.
We have projectors, reflectors, manifestors, and generators. And they have is manifestor generator, which you are one of.
Yeah, I'm always the subtype.
So that's the 0.5.
Yeah.
I'm a projector.
Yeah.
And as a projector, I have found that we are our aura is quite penetrating, and we can be quite direct and even invasive if we are not invited to speak up or to participate, because we are very insightful. We can see things that other people can't. And that was like, oh my god, that's me. I always just get advice without being invited. What was your realization with manifesting generator?
I was like really feeling the, when I am really into something, I just suddenly have the energy. I could have felt like a bit mad before, but if something really sparks my joy, I have unlimited energy up to a point where I'm sitting here at 4 a.m., not even realizing I'm sitting there for so long. Like if something really new comes to me, I just like grab it and I learn everything I can about it. There's like this period where I feel like my focus is solely on this topic and everything else is not important anymore. And
yes.
I really felt that in that way, and also it explains to me why I really struggle with routine responsibilities and things that I'm not excited about, because my energy just doesn't serve this purpose. And it's hard to realize that, because there are things you have to do in life. Like there are things you just can't not do. Like I have another spiritual teacher and she always uses the example. Yeah, I mean, you can't leave your dishes outside for like days. It's disgusting. You have to like do the dishes, but she has such a resistance doing the dishes. And this is like always making me laugh, because for me, this feels the same. Like sometimes I'm like, oh, you have to clean. Oh no, but I don't want to clean. But I have to. At some point I have to, and I have to get the energy. And then it's like, I don't know, when a friend asks me to help them with something, like immediately, I'm definitely there. I'm doing it, even if I don't know anything about it. It's like I get a download from the universe. I get everything I need. I have the resources. It's fascinating. Really fascinating.
It is. It really helps you understand how your energy works. Like, for example, me, I've always been kind of like a nap person. I love naps, and I always run out of energy, and I can't be around many people at the same time. And you know, like I've always called myself an introvert, but with this explanation of the projector, it really makes me understand why. And it's because I get out of energy real quick, because my energy is quite invasive and it's always kind of like taking on board the energies of other people. And that's why I need a lot of kind of downtime being alone. And that's like, whoa, you know me. What was your realization with your strategy and your authority? Do you know those two?
Yeah. My strategy is to respond. And more so respond after my emotional wave passes. Because my authority is emotional authority. Which means...
Yes.
That I have to give myself the time to wait out my different emotions regarding a certain decision. So every decision I make, I really have to be careful not to decide from one place of the emotional wave, because you're like in the now, I could be very happy and content, and then I would probably just decide to do the thing, even if it's not really in alignment with my energy and with my vision. Whereas when I have low energy and a low mood, I could pass on opportunities that are in alignment with my mission. So for me, patience is like a very big word, and that's also something I struggled with so much before this. Like before I found out about human design, I was always so impatient, always trying to push things that I now know I wasn't really having the energy for. Still pushed through it, and this creates like a downfall for me. So that's when I create an energetic low. So for me, strategy means to respond. And I think I misunderstood that at first. I thought I would need, like, in a business sense, to wait for people to come to me, but it's not actually that, because when they ask me something, I'm there. But to respond my own emotional feeling regarding this topic, but not just in the moment, but from all different perspectives. So I take into consideration all the different possibilities, and that takes time often. And something that really... Sorry?
That's when the patience comes in really handy.
Yeah. And something that just like a minute ago before we started opened my eyes was, and now I understand a bit more even, I always say I'm not 100% sure when I decide. Like when I made a decision, I still am not sure. And the reason for that is I emotionally experienced that decision beforehand. So I'm always just 75 to 80% sure. And this explains also so much, because there is no 100% for me. Then it will never be. Because I will always have the periods where I feel good about this and where I feel not good about this. And I think...
All the emotions.
Yeah, all the emotions.
Yeah.
And I think when you know that, then it's okay to feel a bit meh and low. It's okay to feel moody. It's okay to say, okay, I really don't feel like doing it. Because we live in a society where we are pushed to create and to work and to just perform. But my type deteriorates from that. And we have those like minutes, hours, maybe even days where we just can't bring up the energy. And I learned to respect that. And I'm so
exactly.
proud about that.
That is so true. And it gives you this insight. What you say is very valuable, because generators are 70% of the population.
Yeah.
And generators are the ones that have the energy, that are made for the 9-to-5 grind, that are made for the hustle, that are made for, you know, the responding to life and just taking action on what's unfolding. But reflectors, for example, are 1% of the population.
Oh, really? That's small.
Exactly. Projectors are 20%. Manifestors, the rest. But, like, you know, we are in a generator world. What does that mean? Generators, have a lot of energy. They are made to respond to what's unfolding, to what's happening. Manifestors, they have a very open aura, like you, and they need a lot of downtime as well. And they are not done for the hustle either. Projectors, we are the lowest energy available. We have to be very kind of economical with our energy, and same for reflectors. So talking from a business perspective, where like you're a coach, I'm a coach, and we're constantly marketing ourselves, we can't use the normal marketing strategies that generators use, you know, the ones like taking action and let's hustle and let's call DMs, because it's just it doesn't
Not,
work for
yeah.
us. And the thing of energy is so mind blowing because you understand the dynamics of the world so much better.
Yeah.
And makes sense, you know? Like, I found that when I go to talk to a new person and I'm just like, hey, this is who I am, it doesn't work because of my energy.
Yeah.
But when a manifestor or a generator goes in and is like, hey, this is who I am, then it's well received
Yeah.
because just how their energy is working. And yeah, it's so, I
Mind
don't,
blowing.
yeah, it's mind-blowing, truly. Yeah, what were we talking about?
We were just
I
like
just,
talking about how your energy levels differentiate from the other types and yeah, percentages and yeah, maybe like talk about you have to wait for an invitation.
So
Yeah.
projectors, 20% of the population, we have to wait for the invitation. And what does that mean? Like, as I was saying before, our energy is quite penetrating. It's quite invasive because we can see through many things that other people don't catch. Because we are here on the planet to guide and to help manifestors and generators use their energy and their abilities to the best of their potential. But projectors are not on this world to grind and to hustle. Our goal and our mission in life is to guide. But because we're here to guide, we can see through a lot of things that people don't notice. And then when we speak up about it can be received very negatively. That's why we need to be invited. We need to be recognized by people, by others, and be asked for our input or our guidance. And this particular waiting for the, so that's the strategy of the projector. This particular thing really, wow, it was mind-blowing as well, because all my life I have an issue with not being invited. When I'm not invited, I feel very frustrated and very bitter, which is not the self, not
Not
self-theme.
self, yeah.
Not self-theme, it's just the thing that you are not, that you have to walk away from. And that just, you know, for like all my friends, that made me think about my life backwards and all those moments when I wasn't invited. I felt so out of place and so personally attacked. And that explains it, my projector nature and how my energy works. So that was also, did you have any sort of realization like that with your strategy to
With like
respond?
regarding my past experiences, you mean?
Yeah, like a time when you responded to something that you were not called to, or when you initiated.
Yeah, for me, it's like more so that we are very open people. Like our energy is very out there in a way that we just like draw people to us. So actually like instead of going out and going to people and push ourselves on them, we don't naturally do this. People come to us because they just feel invited to come to us because we are just very open-minded people. Our energy is very inclusive and that's how we make people feel. So we make them feel respected and welcome. So we naturally attract people into our aura. And that's exactly how I say my life went and how I attracted friends, how even like the people that I wouldn't consider myself friends, I had this ability to make people trust me and tell me their like inner darkest secrets. And I always question why. So like someone who doesn't know me well or at all would talk to me about like parental issues or issues they have with other people in school. And this is because our aura is so inviting and so like welcoming that people just feel called to share, and that's what we can respond to. Because my type in specific, I don't know if we haven't talked about this, but I'm a hermit, a hermetic, hermit. I don't know. It's like a 6/2 profile, I think, or 5/2 profile. And so what happens to my type, like my subtype in specific, is people often come to us that we can help them heal. So we're like healers. And this is something I really saw in my life. Like, it could be even something I don't know anything about. People still come to me, ask me a question, and I just, with a snap of a finger, can say something that answers their problem. But the downfall to it is that I also have a strain where I need to spend a lot of time within myself, within my own space. So I do have both of these traits. I'm a social person. I love being around people, but there is a time where I can't do that anymore. I have to go inwards, recharge, and then I can go out again. But it happens very fast. So, regarding like how I make friends and how that happened to me, it was always a response. I never went out there and just like said, oh, I picked this person. It's not how it goes. It's a response. It is really a response. And one like specific example was, you can like, it can sound like I would have gone to the person, but the reason why it isn't happening that way, I'm just gonna explain. I was on travels in Australia actually, and I saw a girl sitting by herself, and she just seemed so, I don't know, she seemed so sad. She just seemed so sad. She was sitting there alone. She was eating breakfast. And I just like energetically felt called to sit with her. And so I just sat there and was like, hey, what's going on? How long have you been here? Like, and it was a hostel. So it was just like easy to talk to someone. And she had like the worst experience in her life, honestly. Like when I talked to her, I was kind of worried that I talked to her because she just wanted to be alone. But she actually didn't. She wanted someone who could make her feel better. And that was me. Like I just invited her on an adventure experience, and this made her whole like day, like her whole situation go away. And it was a response.
You felt it. You felt
I
that
felt
much
it. Yeah.
energetically.
Yeah. It's not naturally like someone comes up to you and says it. And I think that's so important within human design. It's energetic. It's not logical in a way. It's energetic. So I felt it. I saw her. I felt it. I went there, and we just had like the best 2 days together. It was so much fun. We are still connected, and it just shows me like I can make people feel very good, and I can make people feel better about themselves, and I can actually also make them change. Like I'm an inspiration to take action to change themselves, and this is how I came to like the coaching, because I saw whenever I connect with people, they have the confidence to change. Yeah.
I
How
have a similar.
did, sorry?
I feel the same. Like for me, like now I understand that I have to be invited and I have to be patient and wait for that invitation rather than pushing. Like I can be very pushy and that always backfires. And now I understand why. It's because it's energetically. It's my not self team
Yeah.
theme. To push. So I just have to be patient. And that real, like, it's something that I have been learning progressively in my coaching career, but having this logical explanation of it just makes it so much clearer and makes it even easier to understand, because now I know why, and it's just the way I'm working energetically. And but what I found is that when I am truly invited, when someone truly wants my insight, there's so much room for healing and for facilitating their process and guiding them into whatever they want to achieve. And that's why, you know, like, coaching is very suitable for my type of energy and for my type of, I am a 5-1 profile. And what I've read a little bit about it is that it's very easy for me to be projected. Like, people can project their problems on me. So, okay. It can be very good because I can be a hero, but it could also backfire and go really bad. And I could, look really, really bad. Which has happened both ways in my life. And
okay.
Now that, makes sense. It's just a logical way to understand energy and to understand how we connect at a non-logical level, at more to a energetically level with human beings, and even how we can use our strategy and our authority. My authority is splenic. That means that it's intuition.
Intuition, okay.
Intuition and instinct, and using that authority to know what is wrong and what is right for you, depending on your dream or your mission or whatever you want to achieve. And, you know, they call it experiment. Once you start experimenting with your strategy and your authority,
yeah.
And I'm starting to use the strategy and the experiment and the authority into my business and into my life, because I'm very new to human design.
Yeah.
And it has been working, right? I feel in so much more alignment, even though I had been in alignment for a while now. I feel much more at ease and supported by my energy, which is, yeah, it's been really good. Have you been experimenting a lot with your strategy and your authority?
Yeah. First of all, it's very, very cool that it works out for you. So it shows you can share and try out more and see how it progresses for you, and that you lead a very successful and aligned life. For me, I learned about this a while ago, actually, maybe over a year. And I then considered it worth an experiment, definitely. And then my personal problem with it was that, of course, within my emotional authority, within my emotions, it's not easy when you're at a very low point to remember everything that you have learned. And I must say, human design is one of the systems that I looked at, and I don't know about you, but I also see some faults in it. For example, I am told, the system tells me basically that I'm controlled by my emotions, but my other insights from other perspectives, from coaching, from I don't know, hypnosis, from subconscious work, tells me different things. For example, what I know, really know in my heart, is emotions aren't just there. I just read about it again, and this was the first time I actually questioned it. And there was a sentence that told me, sometimes I just don't feel good because there's no reason. We always try to figure out a reason, my type in specific, we always try to find a reason for us not feeling good. And then they said, but sometimes there is no reason, you just don't feel good. And I don't want to accept this. I don't want to accept this, because I know, I really know from other work, that emotions are just derived by the ego. So you can decide any time to switch this emotion into a better feeling one. And this actually gives me also the control that I'm not controlled by a system, by my like energetic blueprint, but also by the quality of the thoughts that I pick. And so I pick, like, I'm a person that looks at everything and I pick the things that I know that will work for me, because this wouldn't work for me. This would mean that when I have a low, and I often have one, that's definitely true, that I would stay in this low and I would have to wait. But I don't want to wait. So I let the emotions, like, I take knowledge from other perspectives. I let the emotions guide through me. Like, I feel them, I transform them, I transmute them, and they're gone. And this is an action step. This is not waiting. And so, like, I have a resistance towards that word waiting, because there is something we can do. And I don't want to pe I want I don't want that other manifesting generators feel like, oh, I feel bad now, I feel bad, okay, I feel bad. This is not going to get you anywhere, because life still goes on, and we don't want to just stay the same. Like, because we have a lot of ideas. I don't know how it is with projectors, but manifesting generators just take in everything. And this is like our also conditioning, because we're very open in our minds. We take in everything, but we have a hard time discerning which is right for us. So we get so many opportunities that we have a hard time to pick what is actually bringing us further to our vision, to our life purpose, to our mission, and which is just waste of time. Because we get everything, we can't not, because we're open. And this is an emotional turmoil for us, because every single opportunity gets us into an emotional wave we have to pass through. Yeah, it's complicated, I must say.
Authority the most challenging to understand. Like, I don't have an emotional authority, but almost all the other charts I checked, just out of curiosity, they have the emotional authority. And I was looking into it a lot, and I found it really confusing because it's like you have, it says you have so many different emotions and they can just change like this. So how do you know which one to go for, you know, which one to listen to and actually have that authority over your decision? But this is like kind of like an insight from what you just shared, that maybe might serve you, is there's some difference between emotions and feelings. Emotions are the normal, natural reaction to a hap to something that happens, to a stimulus, right? So let's say someone hits you, of course you're gonna feel angry and you're gonna feel sad, and that's just, my phone is about to die. And your reaction is, you know, angry and sad, right? And that's just normal and natural. And then your feeling is the meaning that you put into it. You hit me because you don't like me, or you hit me because you're a bad person, or you hit me because you were not looking at me and it was an accident, right? Whichever meaning you allocate to that is the feeling, but the emotion is just the natural, normal reaction. What might serve you, and maybe try tomorrow and tell me how it goes, is identifying that first initial emotion that was triggered by the stimulus. So for example, if you're told, hey, let's go to the movies, and the initial reaction, emotion that comes is excitement, then that might be the one, right? But then it's when you put in your mind, it's like, why are you asking me to the movies? Do you like me? Or I don't know. Then that's already a meaning that you're giving to the stimulus, and that's a feeling. Does that make sense?
I know what you mean. I know what you mean, but this is also what I meant with what I disagree with, because I don't think emotions just happen, because emotions happen after thoughts, and thoughts is something that is based on your belief system. So your belief system is something that was built subconsciously throughout the first years of your life, and is the like the first 7 years of your life are the ones that will just how to say this, like influence the rest of your life. So the emotion, I think what you're talking about, that is what I would call intuition, because into that's what I call like intuition, because it's not I'm missing a word. It's not influence, it's not conditioned by another thing, because you haven't yet thought. The minute you thought,
That's interesting.
it's an
Like,
emotion.
we could have a conversation around it because I actually believe that emotions are the most natural and normal present moment stimulus that make us human, you know? And it doesn't come from conditioning, it comes from you actually being present and receiving a stimulus, right? It's then when you put thinking into it and ego comes in, that it transmutes into something different. But that initial boom, let's go to the movies, excitement, or I break up with you, anger, sadness, or relief, or whatever that is the actual real present moment emotion that is being triggered by the stimulus. And you know, like, that's a whole other conversation that we could have.
Yeah.
That's what's exciting about this. Like, we
Yeah.
can compare notes and
Yeah.
learn from each other.
Yeah, amazing. I thought like the same way like you before I learned about this. Because when I like I always thought the emotion just happens. Like you said, the example, someone asks you to a cinema and I'm excited. That's like a feeling. But why am I excited in the first place? Because do I like the cinema? Like just the word cinema just invoked like excitement for me. Maybe that's a reason. But sometimes our thoughts come so fast that we don't even see that we thought about like that. Because when somebody asks me, "Do you want to go to the cinema?" I'm like checking, and that's why I said that's for me intuition. Like if I didn't think about it, like if I really didn't consciously think about it, and like I just pursed out a yes, that's intuition. And that's actually also, if that's a hell yes, then I don't have to pass the emotional wave for my type now. But if I start to think about it, like if I start to say, oh, but what movies are in the cinema right now? I don't really know. I mean, I like thriller movies so much. I don't like romantic comedies. I don't know. Maybe I should like not go to the movies. But she's a friend. I should spend more time with her. That's the thoughts, and then they influence my emotions.
And that's when you're already putting ego into it and you're conditioning,
Yeah.
right? So probably what serves the emotional authority to work better is to actually shift your conditioning into a conditioning that you know serves you.
Yeah.
And that would solve the problem.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, definitely. And in like this example of the cinema, right now in the second, if you ask me, like that's a problem with the manifesting generator. When you ask me, "Do you want to go to the cinema tomorrow?" Right now in this second, I might be excited, but tomorrow at the same time, I could be like, "Oh, I don't want to go to the cinema. Like, I really don't want to." And that's another like problem with us. We shift so fast, and that's I think why we should wait. Like, really wait and be spontaneous about things and be
Yes.
open.
You know what you made me think about is more like waves. You know, like if I tell you today, do you want to go to the movies tomorrow? And the first wave is excitement. Then you ride it and it's like, yay, I'm going to the movies. But tomorrow, before the movie, your wave is apathy, then you might just ride that wave and feel into it and be like, no, actually today I'm just changing and I don't really want to go to the movies. And, you know, it's that authority, the one that is talking to you. It might work, and if you trust your conditioning and you know that that conditioning that is guiding you, your thoughts is already serving you, then it might be easier to trust it more and more. It's just an experiment of getting to know what is going on there. And that's exciting, isn't it? Because it's
definitely
getting to know you.
Yeah. And also, like, one thing I still that popped up when you talked, there is also one simple difference, because maybe people think it's hard for manifesting generators to plan long term. It is sometimes, but it also doesn't necessarily mean it is. Because let's just say there is a movie that I really want to watch. Like, I really know deep down in my heart I want to watch. Your question of asking to go to the movies, maybe even exactly that movie, like, I want to watch it. It's a hell yes. And this hell yes feeling is something, I think they had it in the audio. This hell yes feeling is what we as manifesting generators should look out for, because that's the certain. That's a certain emotion. If we're like starting to, I'm not really sure, that's when we should ride wave. But if it's a hell yes, that's like the call to inspired action. And this is something that really helped me, because I, like yesterday, you were in BGA as well, right? That's how we met. And I had to like go through the module 5, and I had this like plan, but there was like literally the universe was giving me resistance, because I had resistance to it. I was like, I don't really want to do this right now. And now I'm like, now I have the energy. Now I figured it out. I wrote the emotional waves.
Yeah.
I had like the ups and the downs. And I'm like, in the big scheme, like, I feel I really have to do this, because I have a vision for myself. And this is bringing me closer to it. But I didn't feel like it yesterday. And it's okay. Yesterday is gone.
And that's the beauty of life, you know? You just normalize the emotions. Like, you don't have to be a hell yes all the time.
Yeah.
You don't have to be on a, yes, let's grind it, let's make it happen. You know, you have your vision and your mission, and that's still there. But it's sometimes, like, you just want to be in bed. And you just want to ride that emotional wave of, I don't want to, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Right?
And I feel like if we let these emotions be there quicker, if we just, like, surrender to this process, the beauty of this is we get to the other side quicker. Because every time I don't let myself do it, I push through, I resist more, then the downfall is even worse. Then I really have one really low day, because I didn't listen. But when I do, and this is something I learned maybe the past 3 months, 4 months maybe, was to, if I feel that, if I really feel low, I just let it happen. I don't question it. I let it happen, because I know this will serve me in the end. I think one has put a question here.
So one of the biggest things I've learned, just give in and go with the emotions, feel them, accept them.
Yeah, exactly what I meant. Exactly.
That's exactly what we're talking about. I think that word that you use, surrender, is beautiful.
Surrender.
Like before, like, growing up, I was raised in a Catholic country, and surrender was like, oh, punish me. I'm like, that word was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
But then I learned the true meaning of surrender, that is just like, this is the way it is right now, and I give in into what's happening. I give in to the moment, I give in to the reality of my thoughts and my emotions at this very moment, and that's okay. Like, normalizing that emotion and normalizing the moment is surrender.
Yeah.
And that's when you find inner peace and clarity, and you can actually listen to everything that's speaking, your intuition, your solar plexus, even your ego. You can actually start to have a really good relationship with your ego if you listen. If you're like, ego, what are you trying to tell me? And the ego's just gonna be like, I'm just trying to protect you.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, dude, it's okay, I'm fine. Then that's the beauty of surrender. You can actually give in to the waves and listen what's happening.
Yeah.
And that's so powerful.
Definitely. I really like how you use the word normalize. I think that's really a good way to describe it. I often say, come to a place of neutrality. I feel like neutrality is just letting things happen. It's like an observing state, which means things are happening. Don't try to question them. Don't try to control them, but just let them pass through. And then learn from it. Learn from the process. And I think like normalize has a ring to it that this is like something natural. This is a natural process. This, we might not know why and where this is coming from. It is just happening and it's normal. And I think a lot of people resist feeling bad. Like, I mean, granted, like feeling sad doesn't feel good. Like having sadness doesn't feel good. But the sadness is there for a reason. It is there to teach us. It is there to bring us to the next level. And just by knowing that, we can make this process easier and it doesn't feel as hard anymore. And now I forgot what I initially wanted to say. Typical me.
Normalizing.
Yeah, I like that word because I think when people have like these extremes, I just got a message that my phone is at 20%. But when people have these like extremes, like gurus, for example, and I don't like that in the new age spirituality movement. There are a lot of gurus who are like, just be positive all the time, be optimistic, like life isn't so hard because life is what you make it, and etc., etc., etc. Then people who feel those other things feel so bad about feeling not positive all the time, but that's not reality. Like even the gurus, even the optimistic people, they have these emotions, they just choose to not show it. They choose to show like the highlight reel, the positive, I'm so optimistic, la 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 la. But they do have periods of time where they feel sad or angry or I don't know. And they probably have learned processes for themselves to move through them very quickly.
Yeah.
But I really want to like put that message out there because there are a lot of people with mental health issues who feel so bad about feeling bad, but it's so normal.
Absolutely. I think the problem is lack of emotional education.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what coaches like you and me and, you know, all the people starting to come out to speak about are trying to teach.
Yeah.
And it's that it's not about positive emotions all the time. It's about acknowledging that emotions are not negative or positive. They're just emotions. Sadness is as valid as happiness.
Yeah.
Angry is as valid as joy. You know, like it's about normalizing the bad emotions that are not really bad emotions. They're just emotions. They just serve you in ways that you need. Like if someone is pushing you in the street, angry is gonna help you show that it's not right. That's what angry does.
Yeah.
Right? You need to be sad if you break up with your boyfriend or girlfriend because you need to know that there's a grief that you have to go through throughout your life, and it's normal,
yeah.
right? It's not ordinary good emotions. It's about feeling the emotions and look at them. I left. You know, look at it like I'm sad, and that's the positivity that we need to
yeah.
see. It's okay to be sad.
Yeah.
That's a positive outlook to
yeah.
all emotions.
Exactly.
Right? And I think that's what people don't teach. And that's what, you know, we have a mission to normalize all emotions. And, you know, it could go deep into the problems with society. Like, really, it is inconvenient for the economy that people are angry, because then they would speak up about what's unfair. And, for example, women showing their sexuality, it is not convenient, because then women would just open up and be womenpreneurs and, you know, have a job and also raise their kids. And that was inconvenient. And that's why these labels of positive and negative emotions happened. You know, like, you're not entitled to be angry. A lady doesn't get angry.
Yeah.
A lady doesn't feel fire. Right? And I think these labels come from that, from emotions that are inconvenient for the bigger community, because
yeah.
it doesn't serve how things work,
yeah.
right? And we have to normalize all emotions. All emotions are absolutely normal. They are absolutely natural in humans, and sadness is not worse or better than happiness. They're
yeah.
just normal. Emotions.
Yeah.
And by doing that, we just have better relationships with ourselves, because we know that we're entitled to be angry and frustrated and to be horny. You know, it's normal. It's a normal emotion.
Yeah.
Right? And we don't feel shame for what we feel. And that's where I'd like the world to head to.
Same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got visionary there. but that's the mission, right? Yeah, and it's really cool that, you know, we're talking about human design, but we're actually going to the root of everything, that is like understanding our humanity.
Yeah.
And how we work. And that's actually why we do the things that we do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because honestly, like, I often get the question from people who don't really understand what coaching is, or who just like didn't have any touch points, or I don't know. They like immediately ask me, what is the meaning of life? Like, they just go into the biggest question on earth, I feel like, because what is the meaning of life? I answer that always very simple. The meaning of life is to live. Like, there is no one way, one perfect way to go, because every one of us is different and every one of us has a different soul path. Like,
yeah.
I granted the question, like, what is the soul mission? It's unique to you. You have one, definitely. Like, yeah, you are yourself. Like, you have the soul mission, and you actually have control. You can choose. Things happen to you, absolutely, yes, but you can decide any time, because it's your life and your only purpose is to live. And like, I actually like love that simplicity in it, because we humans, we were given consciousness, and this consciousness is like so complicating to the simplest things. Things are very simple, but we make them so complicated.
That's exactly what I think. Like, we live in the logical world.
Yeah.
We live in the midst of people who want to make everything complicated. You know, you have to get a job, and then you have to get a mortgage and have kids and invest. And I mean, yeah, you have to do those things. But in reality, you just have to live the present moment. That's pretty much what you have. Like, nothing guarantees you one night that we're gonna wake up tomorrow. Right? The only thing that we truly have is now. That's it. That's the only promise. Like, and that is living. That is being present. And you know, if you want to plan for the future, of course, go for it. Go and enjoy your life. But also don't waste the present moment thinking about the future or thinking about the past. You know what people are, who created us and where do we come from? I mean, absolutely valid. I ask myself those questions as well. Lose yourself in those questions if you're not remembering to live the present moment. By deconditioning yourself and letting go of the past and letting go of the stories that you're repeating yourself is so absolutely essential to living, because you have to get rid of that to live good life now. And yeah, that's just, it's simple, but simple is hard to grasp for many.
Because we're constant overthinkers.
Yeah.
That's a difference between humans and animals. Like animals, they don't think about what they do, they just do.
They're so
And
instinctual. True.
yeah. It's definitely it's instinct. And
Yeah.
we were given like I think it's a power. I honestly like I think it's a gift and a power that we can think things through. Because this gives us the power to decide.
Yeah.
And that's a difference. Like we can choose to like if let's just say we have like urges that aren't very serving. We can have these urges, but we can actually choose to take this and transmute it to something different. Like, oh my God, like I will do such a big topic switch, but like I think personally everything is sexual energy. Like every creation is sexual energy. And we are humans. We all have needs, we all have urges, and like especially women, because you're a self-love coach. I can guess a lot of women have trouble with their body, with their sexual expression, because they were taught by society that it's not okay for us to wear revealing clothes because we lead people on, we lead men on. Sorry? 2 minutes. Oh,
Excuse me.
yeah. No, I don't see it.
It says that we have 2 minutes left.
Yeah, okay. Then I shouldn't start talking about this topic. But,
Definitely do another one.
yeah.
Because this has been really interesting.
Yeah, it has been
So
really
just
interesting.
like, that was human design,
That was
very
human
logical.
design and a bit of emotional.
Emotional intelligence and conditioning and the meaning of life. Yeah, like it's a good tool to have. It's a good tool to understand yourself, to understand your energy, and also keep an open mind with your emotions and just experiment with the knowledge of human design and see what works and what doesn't work, what aligns, what doesn't align. And it's just like life is just that, is the experiment of seeing what works for you and what doesn't, and just keep on living, right?
And for everyone who doesn't know their human design yet, you can get it for free at mybodygraph.com. You can just check it out and do whatever you want with it. If you want to give it a chance, great. If not, also great.
If you want to text us about human design, go for it. I know a little bit about it. I'm learning more and more every day, and I'm sure you do as well. All right.
Okay.
Good talking to you.
Yeah, it
I
was a
will.
great chat. Hopefully soon again.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.